Well, I think we face a paradox regarding this, and I think this is something that Pope Francis is going to face, and he will need to challenge in some way. We have been in a very long conflict, armed conflict, for more than 50 years in Colombia. And during all this time, we have had more than 220,000 people who died in the conflict, and more than 7 million that were displaced, forcibly displaced. Colombia still appears in UN statistics as the larger country with internally displaced people. And obviously, when people have been displaced, they have been affected in their rights. They have faced many injustice situations. They have been threatened. They have been, in some cases, killed. They have been without the land. There are many, many critical situations there. So in this context, I think that the challenge for the church is how to express that the compassionate love of God is with them. And this is, for me, one of the key issues that Pope Francis has light all these 4 years, more than 4 years that he has been in Rome. Because for him, the main thing is to express the tender and compassionate love of God for all humanity, and especially for all those who are in the most difficult situation, all those who suffer, all those who are facing pain, are facing really, really difficult situations. So for us, this is the challenge. And I think that the date of the visit is connected with the feast of St. Peter Claver. And for the Pope, being a good Jesuit, he knows exactly what means Peter Claver and how was an expression of this commitment of the society from the beginning, in the very early years of the society, to be committed with people that are suffering. In that moment were slave people. And what this situation, and many people in that time thought that slaves were without a soul, that they don't merit to be respected, they don't have dignity, human dignity. So what Peter Claver did was this, was to be by the side of the slaves and to commit with themselves. And many people in the society of Cartagena in that time considered him crazy, but he had in a very clear way that it was impossible for him to be Christian without committing himself with what was he was looking there. In front of our house in Cartagena was the place where the ships arrive and they bring all the slaves. And they arrive in a very poor situation. Many of them really with a very bad health, with injuries, with the St. Peter Claver, what did was to help them, to support them, to animate them, to show a tender face of God.
So are the Afro-Colombians in Colombia today, that community, are they the descendants of those slaves?
Yeah, because we had no slaves, or we had no Afro-Colombians at the beginning. All the native population were indigenous people, all.
The Pope is coming to give voice to the voiceless, as he always does, to reach the peripheries. What do they need to hear from him at this moment?
For me, there are two or three key issues that I am sure Pope Francis will have in mind. The first one is to express that the love of God is with us, that God really loved Colombians and loved all Colombians, no part of the Colombians, no the people had been on one part or other of the conflict, no. God loved all of us. The second message for me, very clear, is that the Pope wants to promote peace and reconciliation in Colombia. And really, we are a very polarized country in this moment. And Pope Francis has manifested already, saying that we need to build really peace and fraternity among all us. And I think that is something that we really need to hear, and we really need to put in practice. And probably the last thing is to recognize that for Pope Francis, the victims are key point on the peace-building processes. So we need to pay attention to the victims. We need to pay attention to poor people, to pay attention to the more needed people in Colombia. And if we really want to build peace, we need to see to these people and to find a way how to support, how to empower them, how to help them, how to promote their dignity, how to build a different society, a society where the divisions and all the conflict that we face nowadays are not in the same way. So I think this is, for me, the three key messages I hope we are going to listen from Pope Francis. I am sure we are going to listen.
What is your main work here?
We work basically in three strategies in five places in the country. We work in the border with Venezuela, that now we are facing a very critical situation given Venezuelans coming to Colombia. Then we are working in the Magdalena Medio region, that was one of the most affected regions for the conflict for many years. Father Derue already worked there for 13 years, trying to build a peace and development program there. Then we work near Bogotá in Soacha, that is one of the cities with larger displaced population. Then we work in Buenaventura, that is in the Pacific coast, one of the most conflicted regions nowadays. And then we work also in the border with Ecuador. There are many Colombians living from Colombia to Ecuador, now also Venezuelans. What are our actions in this moment? In one thing, we try to support people with humanitarian aid, some basic aid, food or other needs that they have, but also with judicial assistance in the way that they can find what is the best way to sort out their situation. Second, psychosocial assistance in the way that many people arrive with the very affected by the displacement and the situation. Secondly, we work promoting some integration strategies. And this is a key point that Pope Francis highlighted this year. And he said that there are four verbs that we have to welcome people, we have to support people, we have to promote people, and we have to integrate people and protect people. So we are trying to do this. And in this sense, the aspect of integration is very key. Many people are not able to go back to the places where they used to live. So they need to find strategies to start to be in a new context, complete different context. And this is one of our challenges, supporting them for finding economic possibilities, a way of gaining life, finding resources for supporting their families. And the other is to promote them and empower them in order that they can be political actors, that they can organize themselves and they can try to find a way that their rights can be find solutions. Then we have a strategy of prevention. This is the third one. And this strategy of prevention is try to prevent that people that were displaced don't have to displace again. To try to encourage people to promote resilience, to find a way that they can be in the places, in many cases facing no easy situation because there are still armed actors in our past. The main guerrilla group, FARC, has demobilized, but now still there are other actors. The ELN, that thanks to God, it seems that it's going to assume a ceasefire, a bilateral ceasefire with the government. But then there are criminal bands that emerge from the mobilization of the paramilitary groups. And they are affecting the population. So it's necessary to support them. And the other critical point is this group are recruiting especially youths, trying to use them for business, for micro-traffic, that is the distribution of drug trafficking in the cities, or to use them for extortion or a sexual exploitation of people. So it's a way of how to promote and support children, youths in the schools, in the, trying to find a way they can face this challenge they have there.
Are you hopeful?
Yeah, I am hopeful. It's not easy, and we, in many cases, feel overwhelmed with the situation. But at the same time, we discovered that in many cases, there were no light in the situation. With our support, people start to find possibilities. And in many cases, after this, they say, we were able to walk, we were able to find a way because you support us, because GRS support us. And for us, this is very encouraging because we feel that, in a way, we are doing what we need to do and what God is asking us to do.